Hello and welcome to Behind the Business, a podcast where we talk with Hot Springs business owners and managers about their business. Each Monday, we go inside the business to get a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities businesses face today. My name is Ken Goodman, and we are broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studios. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, I'm Harry Porter, General Manager of Sentinel Record. I'm filling in for Ken today. He's out, and we're pleased to have as our guest today Kirk Conville. And Kirk is the owner of Bago Incorporated, Rave Graphics, and Pressed On. Is
that drywall fasteners.
Drywall fasteners. Okay. All right. As you can see, Kirk wears many hats. He's a pretty busy entrepreneur, and we appreciate Kirk taking the time to come in and talk to us today.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Kirk, let's talk a little bit about Bago. Some research I did, it's been around since 1948. Is that right?
Well, it's probably been around a lot longer than that. When my dad did a patent search on it, his patent attorney came back and said, I got some good news and I got some bad news. Good news is I got an idea that we can get a patent on this, but the bad news is we've had 150 patents already applied.
Wow.
And my dad said, well, that's great news. And he said, what do you mean that's great news? He said, well, 150 people think my idea is pretty cool, so I'm going to go with it. So that's kind of how we got going. They started in the Midwest on 2x4s and Masonite all around, and we
well,
just kind of perfected on
that. Before we get too
that.
Deep, for the folks listening who don't know what Bago is, what is Bago?
Well, Bago, we call it the best backyard game ever. It's a beanbag game that can be played by any age group, any skill level, family game, family fun. Backyard, beach, picnics, folds up, carries like a suitcase, plays similar to horseshoes. You're going to throw beanbags back and forth. If you get a beanbag in the hole, you're going to get 3 points. If you get to stay on the board, you get a point, and your points cancel out. And,
gotcha.
You play like that. But the beauty part is you don't have to be a star athlete to jump up and beat someone that is a star athlete.
Right,
so that
right.
makes it kind of fun.
Just all around
levels
good
out
entertainment.
The, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So back to how it kind of got started. You were going down that.
We've been playing the wooden game. We used to have, up in Chicago, we used to have block parties. And they used to block off each segment of a street and have a big party for the neighborhoods. And there were wooden games up and down the street, but there was no consistency. There was no, I mean, they were all different hodgepodge versions of these games. And my dad was watching 60 Minutes one night, and he saw that they banned lawn darts. Have you ever seen the lawn darts?
Yeah, I remember lawn darts.
And a lot of people got killed and injured, and one girl got killed, and the father went to Washington and got the game banned in 1988. And he spent every nickel he had and sat on the steps of Congress to get this game banned. And they were going through the numbers on 60 Minutes. My dad was sitting there and thinking about it, and they sold 4 million jart sets in a year. And we had jarts, but then we had this crude beanbag game too. And we never played the jarts. We played the beanbag game because it was more fun, it was safer. So he got an idea there was a void in the marketplace and we're going to go after it. So he made a fold-up version of Bago and took it to Budweiser. It was his first stop. And he had the VPs and the sales and marketing guy out in the hallway playing the game, and they loved it. They were having a blast with it. But they said, Mr. Conville, we don't like it made out of wood. We want it made out of plastic. We want it to fold together. We want to put our logo on it. We want it to hang on the wall. We want to carry like a suitcase. My dad was like, you know, it's a family tradition. You know, we make them out of wood. And the guy's like, you don't need to bag your family tradition, no pun intended, mm-hmm. but we want them made out of like this. So he went home, worked on it. 2 years later, went back up to Budweiser with version of Bago, and they honored their deal, gave us an order, and we've been going ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So from what I read, you can actually get customized or editions of Bago, is that right?
Oh, that's it. That's where we really excel. If you were to send in your logo today before noon and we approve it, we could ship a game out today with your logo and everything decorated. You know, we decorate the beanbags, we decorate the face of the game. So we personalize it with businesses, companies, family, churches, schools, parks and recs, you name it.
And this is all done right here in Hot Springs?
Right here in Hot Springs, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many folks work for Bago?
It varies depending on the seasonality, and we farm out some stuff. So we average about 15 to 20 employees.
Wow. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And everything's constructed here pretty much.
Well, the games are actually blow molded in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas. Oh, then they ship down to here. Yeah, and then we ship them down to here and we do the final assembly. We'll do some checks on the game to make sure everything's right. Then we put the bags in there and we put the screens on. You come up with a wall mounting bracket. You can hang the game on the wall when you're done, so it'll advertise for you when you're not playing it. Yeah.
That's very cool. So I guess you kind of transitioned, take the business over from your dad after after he retired, I'm assuming.
Well, he never really retired. He just ended up passing. Wow. He was working to the day he died.
He just loved what he did.
Loved it.
Wow. So how would you say Bago has changed from when your dad had it to when you took it over?
Well, that's funny you ask, because we started it in 1991 is when we got our patent on the fold-up version of the game. And I was my senior year of engineering school at University of Arkansas. So I was kind of helping them with a little bit of the design. And then I went out to sell centrifugal pumps and machinery. And he wanted me to go out and screw up on somebody else's nickel and bring something back. And I said, well, the bad news of that, Dad, is when I come back, you're not going to be able to afford me. And he said, well, I'll take my chances. So anyway, 1998, I quit my full-time job and went after it.
That moment right there, when you quit your full-time regular job, you know, kind of a guarantee, for lack of a better word, you got that security. What was that decision process like? How did you come about that? How nerve-wracking was it?
Well, I always knew I was going to work with my dad. It was just a matter of when. It wasn't a matter of if. Right. I was getting into my 30s, and I thought if I was going to go out and do something, I wanted to do it now. I could always come back to my job I was in. I was selling centrifugal pumps and machinery. I thought I could go back and do that, but I wanted to give it a shot before I got too old and, you know.
Right.
I was right there in my prime, so right. I thought I'd give it a go.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you took over Bago, what did you find as the most challenging aspect of the business when you first took it over?
Well, we were working on a limited budget out of Hot Springs, Arkansas, and we're trying to go national.
Right.
And that was a big thing on a very, very small budget.
Right.
So
right.
It's how you get the ball rolling from that, you know.
Exactly. So when you have Bago and it's, you know, it's up and running, and what would you say about Bago specifically? What do you enjoy most about that business?
What do I enjoy the most about it? I enjoy working with my employees. Mm-hmm. I really do. I got a great team, and they're passionate. They're probably as passionate as I am, and we work hard every day, and we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of tournaments inside corporate stuff.
Right.
Thanksgiving. I look forward to Thanksgiving Day tournament. And I don't know, just getting out with them and working with them, doing trade shows and watching it grow.
Right. Well, that gives me an idea. We have a Thanksgiving kind of luncheon here for, I need to get a Bago from you so we can.
Well, I got one in the Jeep
for
you.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So, as we kind of said in the intro, you have several businesses that you run and operate. What led you to want to be an entrepreneur? What was the driving thing that made you want to kind of do it on your own and start all these different businesses? And
I think I was just bred for it, you know. This is a story. It's kind of close to my heart. My dad was working. We were in Chicago, and we just bought a house. Family just got started in a brand-new residential area. My dad was asked to remove a fellow from their position. He was in a management position, and they asked him to fire a guy that he didn't believe needed to be fired. Mm. Okay, so long story short, he took the brunt of it and lost his job because he wouldn't do it. So he came home that night, but he didn't sit around and cry about it. It was funny because they came through the mail and he had a big stack of bills. My mom was on him, riding him, saying, I can't believe you quit your job. This, that, and the other. And in his stack of bills, he was maxed out on everything. And they just bought this house. And there's a notice in there that they had to remove mailboxes from the street because the snowplow would come by and knock the mailboxes over. So there was a mandate. So they had to move the mailbox to the front of the house, attached to the house. So now, not only did he lose his job, he was out of cash, his credit cards were maxed out. Now he had to move the mailbox, you know? And most people would get really frustrated with that. He looked at it as an opportunity because he thought everybody in the neighborhood needed to move their mailboxes. So that night, same night, he's looking through the Sears catalog and orders, maxes out the credit card on mailboxes. Wow. So we have all these mailboxes coming to the house. So he was going to go door to door and mount these on the on everybody's house. Well, back in that day, women were at the house or at home. That was back years ago. They didn't want it was uncomfortable to go to a door with a strange man. And I was a young kid. So there I came along, and he got a little red wagon. He pulled me along in the red wagon, and I would go up to each door, and I'd knock on the door and be the icebreaker for him.
Fantastic.
I could drive down those streets today and still see mailboxes that my dad and I installed on those doors. And at the end of the day, we sold a little red wagon. So I was born to sell.
Wow.
Tune in to Checked Out, the Garland County Library's new podcast, every Friday for all things library. Being the state's first lending library since 1833, we are your connection point for the information you need, including books, movies, music, and much more. Find out more at gclibrary.com.
So what led your family from Chicago to Hot Springs?
Well, my dad was selling the drywall fasteners to most in Texas, and he didn't like to fly, so he found himself driving a lot. He was having some marital problems, and his sister was down here. My aunt was in Hot Springs, and when he was in Texas, he would come up and stay with her in Hot Springs, and he just fell in love with it. We fell in love with the lakes and the town, and it just the best-kept secret in the United States,
right,
I believe.
Right.
So we've been here ever since and love it.
Very cool story. So. Very cool. So what is, when it comes to entrepreneurship, what's the hardest part of that?
The hardest part really is building a team, I think, and just getting the people around you that believe in it and want to be there. That's probably about it, you know, I think.
If you were talking to, say, a young person or an older person who was wanting to become an entrepreneur, what would be the primary piece of advice you would give a prospective new entrepreneur?
I would tell them to obviously do the research. You got to do the due diligence up front. Make sure there is a market. Make sure what you're going after it in the right way. And then don't look back. Just keep going. Because you're going to run into roadblocks. There's going to be so many things that you're going to have to get through. And you just got to persevere, you know. And my dad said, you got to, number one thing in business, you got to turn a profit. I mean, so you got to focus in on what you're doing. I mean, a lot of people get so passionate. No, I'm serious, because I was watching Shark Tank the other night, and this lady was up there, and she was crying. Right. And Mr. Wonderful says, what are you crying about? Yeah. She says, well, I'm crying because I'm passionate about my product. He said, you ought to be crying because you ain't turning a profit. and it just kind of hit home with me. And that's kind of what my dad was all about. He was a big numbers guy. And it was, you got to bring it in, too, at the end of the day.
That's true. That's kind of gets lost in the age of, you know, obviously it's not the case now, but when Amazon first started, they lost millions and millions of dollars for years and years and years and years. That's just not typical. I mean, a smaller business can't operate that way. You can't just continuously lose money. You have to. There has to come a point where you have to say, it's got to make money.
Yes.
You know, or it doesn't make sense, as that old saying says.
Yeah. So another thing I would add to that is set some goals and some parameters, something you can measure on, you know. When are you going to call it quits?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When to pull the plug.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about being your own boss?
Probably just calling the shots, you know, and working with my team and watching them develop.
What would you say is your number one thing? I'm sure there's lots of things, but what is your number one thing you will never compromise on in business?
Probably the integrity. Mm-hmm. And we take the high road. You know, if something's wrong, we're going to fix it and we're going to do it right. You know, we're in for the long haul. So we're going to lose a few battles along the way, I guess is what I'm getting at. It, you don't win every one of them. You know, so we always try to take the high road. And, you know, as they say, the customer's always right.
That's right.
So
how would you say, maybe not, we could talk Bago specifically or maybe all of your businesses, what would you say is been the number one change that your businesses have undergone in, say, the last several years?
Well, as you know, when the COVID hit, that was a big hit. Right. So we lost, and there was a variety of obstacles. I mean, they were just coming at you from every different direction, whether you couldn't get product in, to the labor force, to everything shutting down. But my team, we didn't sit around. We actually started another business, and we haven't even talked about it, during the COVID.
Really?
And yeah, and we started renting slingshots around town.
Okay.
Yeah, and everybody couldn't get out, couldn't do things, and we thought slingshots would be the perfect thing. So we started with 4 bikes. I won't get too much into it. We ended up with 12. And got a little bigger than we thought it would be. So we ended up selling that off, and it's being run here in Hot Springs, Slingshot Spa City.
Right.
And
we've had those people on our podcast.
Yeah, and they're doing really well with it. So
we
started
that. I did not know that.
Yeah, so we started that little deal too.
Wow,
so
that's cool.
It really, in the hard times is when you can really make some opportunities.
Wow, that was kind of gutsy during COVID.
Oh, it was very gutsy. Yeah, but there again, my team was all for it, backed me up, and went after it.
Where do you see the future of Bagot?
Well, I don't know if you know, the cornhole's gone in with the wooden version.
Right.
We didn't get into the differences and the nuances of that. We're kind of a unique form of cornhole. Kind of maybe the pickleball, the tennis, just a little different. We're 20% of the overall bag tossing market. That's us. Niche, because we do have a patent and we do have the name. So we'll continue to grind that out a little bit. We are doing a little bit of the wood board version, the cornhole version, which is a big difference of the two. We can talk about that if you'd like. And we're actually working with a Vietnamese family out at the village who's making some wood games for us. Yeah, and we are, it was kind of, you can't beat them, join them. We went up against the wood version for so long, and I've had some, we do a lot with the corporate versions, and I had some of my corporate clients saying we want a few wood games made. So we ended up making them for them on a special basis, and then we ended up started our own. So we have some versions of that game that we're really excited about. We're going to try to tweak that a little bit, because that, I don't know if you've seen do you know what the cornhole boards?
I've seen the cornhole
And how bulky and cumbersome and heavy.
Right.
So we're going to try to refine a few of those things and put our name on it. And so we're working towards that. We're doing some dye sublimation on our bean bags, which is exciting.
So you talked a little bit about, people may think it's the same game, but it's not. What's
the difference? It's different. It's totally different. We're a highly engineered bag toss game. I mean, to the fullest. A cornhole game is 2 feet by 4 feet. You know, they came up with those dimensions.
No idea.
Well, they ripped a 4x8 sheet plywood half. Okay, so it wasn't rocket science on that, right? Yeah, we got the size of the bag of boards.
No idea.
My dad went out and measured the trunk of his 911.
Really?
And maxed that out because he didn't want to fly, and he wanted to be able to put the game in his car and go. So that's how we came up with the sizing on that.
Wow.
So.
Interesting.
And I said, Dad, we're not 2 feet by 4 feet. He said, Well, we don't need that extra foot. If you're down there, you don't deserve a point. So
That's cool. So I'm assuming, you know, Bago is a worldwide product.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. We actually export them to Japan. And,
wow.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming
cruise ships.
Tournaments, I'm assuming, go
on.
Is there a national Bago champion?
Actually, we're doing a lot down at Oakland. We do a big tournament down there
at
Oakland every year, which is awesome. Yeah. And we get the national cornhole guy comes in every year. Best he's ever done is 5th place.
Really?
Yeah. Gets broomed. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to see.
Interesting.
Fun to see. Because it's a different game. It plays different. So if you try to your cornhole style on your Bago, you're not going to be as successful. And if you try your Bago style on your cornhole, you're gonna have some problems too.
Interesting.
So
if people are listening to this and they've never tried Bago, where should they go to get one?
Well, you can obviously go online. You can buy them on Amazon. You can buy them at Bago.com. And you can come by Mid-America Boulevard and take a look and see what we're doing. We got a little showroom there, and they can pick one up there, local.
And y'all show them how to play?
We love that. Right. You know, we don't have very many guests or that. We're not open for retail sales, but we're always encouraging the locals to come by and check it out.
Great. Well, Kirk, this has been very interesting, I have to say. A fascinating story, your dad's journey and your journey. Very inspirational stuff. I want to thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
We've had Kirk Conville. He's the owner of Bago Incorporated, Rave Graphics, and Pressed On
Drywall Fixtures.
I don't know why
and
I'm
fasteners.
Struggling with it.
Yeah.
But and we're probably going to do another one with Kirk and talk about Pressed On.
Oh, it's a great story. It's a great story.
Yeah. Well, Kirk, we sure appreciate you taking the time, and we've enjoyed it.
Okay. Thanks for having me. Thanks, appreciate
Kirk.
You.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Behind the Business. New episodes released each Monday from the Razorback Camper Sales Studios. I'm Ken Goodman. Thanks for listening.